Electricity isn't a new technology, but to tackle the climate crisis, we need to use it in new ways. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. Marketplace has a new podcast called How We Survive, about solutions to the climate crisis. The latest episode is called Electrify Everything, and it's about how using electricity generated from renewable sources to power our homes rather than, say, natural gas, is key to weaning us off our dependence on fossil fuels. Here's Donnell Baird, who runs the electric building startup Block Power.
We must do that in order to navigate the worst impacts of climate change. The sooner the better.
So how do we get everyone to adopt this century-old technology of electricity in new ways? Molly Wood is the regular Marketplace Tech host and the host of How We Survive.
Well, it's funny because it sounds really obvious until you realize how non-obvious it is, because a lot of the conversation about electrifying is, of course, about transportation, cars and buses. But there's also a need to electrify things like our heating and cooling systems in our homes, our stoves, and then our grid on the back end to install batteries all throughout the grid so that we can use renewable energy to electrify everything. And so it's this really interesting conversation that starts with your home, because a real thing that people can do in the face of the climate crisis is install solar, use batteries to store that energy, or, you know, use it to power their own electric appliances and heating and cooling and cars. And then that scales all the way up to, you know, every building in the country and every grid.
Yeah. So this is really about adoption. It's because technology is effectively electricity, but getting people on board with it.
Exactly. And helping people, I think, understand that it's actually a possibility, that these things exist that you can put in your home, and also that it is possible to sort of change the way you consume electricity at the house by house, block by block level. And it doesn't, it's everything from consumers to utilities to policy.
So then, nuts and bolts, what actually needs to happen to make this happen?
Right. One, of course, is cost, because not everybody can afford to put solar and a battery in their home, right? There are tax incentives for this, but it doesn't make it affordable for everybody. So one simple question is, how do we make it possible for this to occur on every house? Then, of course, you scale up from the house level to, you know, can a whole city electrify? And can they make sure that they're not necessarily, you know, running electric appliances and electric heating and cooling systems with coal and natural gas-based energy? So utilities will have to upgrade.
You talk with the person in Louisiana who lost power for 10 days during Hurricane Ida, but was still able to make it through because they had solar panels and a battery. Is this really feasible for every home in America?
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, and it really actually is. And this person that we interviewed, Devin DeWolf, who lives in New Orleans, you know, his home became sort of a hub for that entire 10 days for other people in the neighborhood. So it was almost like its own microgrid. He was able to run an extension cord to his neighbor's house to keep his neighbor's oxygen machine running. He was able to put out power strips so that people around the neighborhood could come and plug their phones in and charge up and find out what was happening. And now he is trying to raise money so that the city can put solar panels and batteries on restaurants, so that restaurants could keep operating during a hurricane or some other natural disaster, so they wouldn't have to waste so much food. They can be there, often neighborhood hubs themselves. And it does give you the sense that as more people realize that this is an option, that if you can get solar with a nice big tax break installed on your house, you can get a battery that goes along with that to store that energy, then you really do become sort of an island of power that's a lot more resilient when the weather gets bad.
Yes, but then you have to convince people to give up their gas stoves. And no, the cook's here. Let me duck for cover. They don't want to do that.
I mean, this is like this really fascinating subplot of the electrify conversation, because I only recently found out that these electric heating and cooling systems exist, right? You can replace your like hot water heater and your AC system and your heat with these electric heating and cooling systems that are great and they're super modular. But yeah, if you really want to decarbonize your house, the other thing you have to dump is your gas stove. And some cities are actually passing regulations saying no new construction can include gas hookups. It's got to be all electric. And then you have other cities and other states saying, well, we're going to pass a law to make sure that a law like that never gets passed because we're a natural gas producing state. It gets very controversial. And yes, when you try to take a gas stove away from a chef, they get real upset.
But, you know, aside from those, you know, kind of subplots to the side, how long is this going to take? And more importantly, do we have enough time?
The uniform response from everybody who is talking about this or working on it or wants it to happen is that we're not going fast enough. Mm. We're definitely not. And you know, look, policies that would incentivize this are included in some of the infrastructure proposals that are being debated in Congress right now. And chunks that would be a big part of this are being stripped out, at least so far in negotiations.
Right.
So it's going to definitely take, you know, I talked to one source who said, we need a Manhattan Project for this in the United States. But, you know, look, every little step matters.
So our local and state and the federal government, are they smoothing the way for this transition? Or is this one of these situations where the bureaucracy is in the way?
It's a little bit of both. I think that, you know, some states certainly have more incentives than others when it comes to subsidizing installing equipment like this. California, of course, is one of those states. New York is one of those states. Donnell Baird, the startup founder that we talked to for this episode, though, gave us the example of a guy in Montana who's trying to decarbonize his house and install some of this equipment and is finding it's prohibitively expensive because there aren't any incentives. And also, we can't find qualified installers for things like electric heating and cooling equipment. So it definitely varies state to state. And there are times when you might find that there should be an incentive that doesn't exist.
Molly Wood. Her new podcast is called How We Survive. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.